Speaking of a good icon for America, the sports professor Rick Harrow joins us now on the line during our golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I'm, of course, not a lawyer, but a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Rick, good morning to you. Happy Sunday. And if you're in town, which I think you are, then you know that it's a soggy and rainy and wet weekend down here in South Florida.
I'll do one better. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes,
good.
Sir.
I'll do one better. I'm in a conference room at Dolphin Stadium waiting for a meeting, then waiting for the game. I probably just should have stayed here last night because I was going to leave at halftime. I said, nah, I feel like something special is going to go on. Yeah, something special happened. A loss and a monsoon, not just a loss. And so you had 70,000 drunk, 70% disappointed fans in a quagmire leaving at the same time, wet, disgusted. It was a lot of fun last night, let me tell you.
Now, I watched that game yesterday, Rick, from start to finish, and the one term that I use to sum up that game is crazy. I mean, it started out 24-0, then the Hurricanes get a field goal to end the half, so they get on the board, and then coming out in the second half, it almost looked like the teams traded jerseys in the locker room because the Hurricanes looked like the Seminoles in the first half and vice versa for FSU. You had everything in that game. You had a safety. You had blocked punts. You had botched long snaps. You had trick plays left and right. In the end, it was, you know, after almost 4 hours of crazy football, 41-39 final score. And I guess my biggest concern is for today's Dolphins-Chargers game. What's the status of that field down there, which was a deluge last night?
Well, the field drains well. This is a great stadium. The staff is kind of cranky, but nothing but kudos for them since they just opened up a conference room for me. But you know, they had to kick people out of here at a certain time because normally the conversion from UM stuff, from the logo, et cetera, to the Dolphin stuff takes a little while anyway. This was going to be the tightest time they've ever had, 3:30 game Saturday, 1 o'clock game Sunday, and it was compounded by, first, the rain, and second, people just really didn't want to leave. And you could hardly blame them because they were depressed anyway. But it really was a monsoon getting out of here right as the game was over, as everybody saw when you saw Boscher's onside kick not work. And then everybody left at the same time, basically, or tried to. But, you know, the changing jerseys is correct, except that quarterback for FSU, he did not change jerseys. That kid's going to be great, and that is a Tim Tebow with an arm. That guy sure can run.
Hold on a second. He ran a porous and slow Hurricane secondary,
by the way.
Hold on a second. I got that. That was a backhanded slap at Tim.
Well, no,
because
this
Tebow.
Guy's also, I suspect, a little brighter than Tebow as well.
Wow.
So I missed that piece.
Tebow's got an arm.
How could you do that? How could you possibly do that when Florida barely gets by and also
barely.
Ran mediocre Arkansas team?
38-7 is not barely, my friend.
Hey, Rooney, you know, let's get back on golf because obviously crazy. I didn't think he'd want to talk about extra point
against
Mississippi. Is that too? Are you over that?
I'm over it now that they got back on the, you know, got the bad taste of that one-point loss out of their mouths with yesterday's win against the Razorbacks. But back to Christian Ponder, because you're exactly right. He is smarter than Tim Tebow. Not saying Tebow's dumb, but Christian Ponder graduated in 2.5 years with a finance degree from Florida State.
That's what I'm referring to. And by the way, he found his secondary and third receivers. They were running what looked like a pick play, but I guess after you have two guys in the same spot with the one guy picking off a Hurricane cornerback and hoping the safety didn't respond, you know, I'm not that bright, and I understand a little bit of football, but they had that happening all day. And then when they wanted to get back to it, when they needed that touchdown drive at the end, they were setting up a field goal, and what happens? Smith runs, 22 yards to basically put the game away.
Yeah, Anton Smith had a phenomenal game. 4 touchdowns for the Pahokee grad in his senior year there at FSU, and I know his family was real proud to see him kind of in his backyard against Miami, you know, down south in the hometown, you know, home area, have such a good game, final game against the Hurricanes for his college career. But back to Christian Ponder. You know, I said to Pat before the show, Rick, it seems like the scrambling quarterback is back in vogue in college football. Tim Tebow winning the highest last year, Christian Ponder, and Robert Marv as well for the Miami Hurricanes, kind of that same type of style. You see the same thing from the guy at Vanderbilt yesterday, McKenzie, who came in, and Vanderbilt got a big win over Auburn. You know, and 10, 15 years ago, this is what was the theme and the trend in college football with the Charlie Wards and the Tommy Frazier's, but recently we kind of got away from that with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and Ryan Leaf, and, you know, the pocket prototypical quarterback, but it seems like the scrambling quarterback is back in vogue in college football.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I thought thought I was getting older, you know, and I'm thinking back at memories that I might not ever get back again. And I was waking up this morning and thinking, boy, you know what? What a difference 10 years makes. And then again, not at all. Nothing about the stadium, great stadium, but I end up depressed, rained on, yelled at, dripped on in a college game. Then I watch the Cubs disappoint me and lose, and now I'm getting excited about the Dolphins again. It's like the 1980s and 90s all over again.
I don't think it's ever good to be dripped on, by the
way.
Well,
no, I'm not, I don't like being dripped on. I didn't say I liked it. I just said it reminded me of the old Orange Bowl. The difference is this place is a wonderful stadium, but, you know, even this place can't withstand just a monsoon like that.
Well, I got to ask you, Rick, because this is the first year the Hurricanes are out of the toilet bowl, formerly known as the Orange Bowl. Was there a feeling, you're a UM guy, is there a feeling that this is now their home, or did it kind of still feel like, you know, a neutral site type game yesterday against Florida State?
First time last night you could hear the magic, whatever that means, and I think people got used to cheering again. The stadium was not full. I guess that was an issue more of the fact that these two teams are not ranked, more than how far it is from campus. I really do believe that. Because once you get in a bus, you know, an extra 15 minutes to college students, I'm not sure is going to matter, or 20 minutes or 30 minutes even. But there were maybe, I was going to think, 35% FSU fans, and they were all packed in a certain spot. Hurricane fans were amazing in the third quarter when you were witnessing what could have been history. And I was emotionally drained after that game. And I think, yeah, this is the first time people will look back and say fans are starting to embrace the Hurricanes at Dolphin Stadium.
The announced crowd last night was right around 65,000, so about 7 grand short of capacity there at Dolphin Stadium, 72,000. And for the first time ever, and the commentators on the telecast, Bob Greasy among them, mentioned that the Florida State band was in the upper deck. It was the first time that they had ever seen a college band in the upper deck at a football game, but that didn't stop them from playing their music loud and proud.
I understood that they tried to put them out in lot 17, but they were kind of complaining that that's not close enough.
Yeah, Hurricanes obviously trying to take advantage of that home field advantage by putting the opposing band in the upper deck.
Well, better than, I'm doing this on Moneyball today, better than the Wisconsin band. I don't know, did you guys see what happened to them?
No, I didn't. What happened to Wisconsin?
Wisconsin's band, it was interesting. This is the first time in the history of Division I college football that the band was suspended for yesterday's game.
Oh, for hazing.
Indefinitely, while allegations of hazing, alcohol abuse, sexual misconduct were investigated. And, of course, Wisconsin and Ohio State. If you notice, the band was not there.
Well, they better suspend everybody then on college campus if that's what they're suspended for.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Rooney on moral behavior, ladies and gentlemen. Rack that up.
Right. Crazy band members just doing whatever college co-ed does during their 4 or 6 years, as it was for me.
Yeah. Well, now, do you want to talk about how terrible the economy is and what the impact is on golf, or you want to just keep talking football? What, you know, I'll do it. Or the Cubs. What, you want to talk about the Cubs?
No, let's not talk about the Cubs. That's for sure.